Hey guys, Evan here from Locked On Cavs. On today's episode, Chris and I talk about how Cleveland is burning like Rome itself with Tristan Thompson wanting out of town. And we also give a quick preview of Cavs Thunder. And then Spencer Davies joins the show to preview the upcoming trade deadline for Cleveland. And then we also discuss the Grizzlies rookies and young players clapping back at Andre Iguodala. And we also talk about how the Knicks are kind of a tire fire. And anyways, thanks for listening to today's episode of Locked On Cavs, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Put him in cement boots, Colin Sexton for two.
Away it goes! Locked up! Playoff winner!
Cleveland! This is for you!
Hey guys, welcome to today's episode of Locked On Cavs. Joining me today is my co-host Chris Manning. Chris, how you doing, bud? How is your... That's a Tuesday. How's your Tuesday going?
You know, it's going good. You know, kind of a crazy Cavs day, even though not a lot happened. We got some pretty clutch reports about the burning of Rome. So, it's a fun time as we get closer to the trade deadline.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that Cleveland is burning because you and I were, I was downtown Saturday for Cavs Warriors and loved every second of that game. But it was pretty cold and dark, and if the city was burning, it could have fooled me. So, yeah, no, some clutch reporting. I guess I just don't really have the insight or the connections to really see the true problems that are with the Cavs and the city of Cleveland as a whole.
Yeah, it's a weird time. But there's a weird just kind of thing going on right now with the Cavs where, like, we just feel like a lot is going to change between now and Thursday. You know, we're less than 24 hours away from the deadline coming, and things just feel like they're heating up and things just feel pretty rough, and they're coming off these two losses to two teams that coming into Tuesday night's slate of games, one of whom is two games better than the Cavs right now. That is the Knicks, and the Warriors are a full game worse than the Cavs in the standings. But the Cavs have only won the only team worse than the Cavs over their last 10 games. Do you know who it is off the top of your head?
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
That is correct. The Cavs are 1-9 in their last 10, as are the Charlotte Hornets. The Wolves are 0-10. So the Cavs are pretty, pretty bad. And Thursday is just going to kind of shape things, I think, for the rest of the year to a large degree. And that's, like, going to be a weird day, I think.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And just real quick, going to throw some cat shade out there. Ty Windish, shout out to again. He just shares this fun stuff with me all the time. Did you know Karl Anthony Towns hasn't won a game since before Thanksgiving?
Yeah, that's crazy. Cat's really good. And, like, the defensive stuff with him is real, but, like, Cat's really good. And that team is just, like, I love that they're just like, we're going to do whatever we can do to get D'Angelo Russell because he's friends with Cat. I love that. That's just incredible.
Spencer, this, I told you this plenty of times. If I wake up tomorrow and my Twitter feed is just blowing up and, like, my email, because my email's accessible to people and my family is, like, getting threats and, like, today is that day I'm getting canceled. Like, you know what? If it's my time, it's my time. That's all I have to say.
That's fair. That is fair. But, we're just in, like, a very dark period right now. And, like, it's funny because, like, I felt like we were pretty optimistic for parts of last week, and then it's just, like, the weekend and Monday happened, and it's like, okay, sure. Yeah. I guess this is where we are. Good times. Good times. Like, you know, the Cavs are saying, like, it's a renaissance, but, like, I feel like this is, like, just, like, the peak of the Middle Ages or the dark ages of society where it's just, like, you know, there's, like, no progression. It's just, like, a bunch of, like, darkness and plagues and stuff. And, like, that's, like, there's the darkness before the dawn. But the dawn feels pretty far away.
Wow, you're waxing poetic over here. But, you know, it just... I'm going to assume someone in the Cavs organization listens to this podcast. So I'll kind of say this nicely, but it kind of feels on brand for this team to believe they're in a renaissance era when they're actually stuck in the middle of the dark ages. But Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, yeah, like you said, and then maybe to give a quick preview of what's coming with Spencer, I kind of just talked about how it was Super Bowl Sunday, and you and I went through that lightning round of players of who's going to stay and who's going to go. And Spencer agreed that Kevin Love would stay. And then I like just made a note to say, like, yeah, no, Chris and I were both pretty certain that Tristan Thompson was going to stay here and sign an extension. And then it's been about a little over 24 hours at this point, and just a lot of stuff has happened between now and then to just kind of like completely squash that notion and all the good vibes we had about Tristan Thompson being a Cavalier lifer.
Yeah, and now that feels as if it feels like we're just in a place where, like, I would love to, Tristan, we'll never get some of this stuff publicly, but I would like more fleshed out information on sort of the attitudes. Like, there just feels like, you know, and I think you've asked people about this, and like I've asked people about this. I don't think we necessarily have like some of the insight or the deep levels of years covering the team. There's like people on the beat that I think could report this out, or people in the league that could kind of report this out. It probably just isn't on high on the list of stuff to do right now. I think there's probably there's a lot to be said about just what has really kind of led to so much of this. Like, what is at the root of so much of this kind of angst and discomfort around the team in the last year post LeBron? Like, you know, how big of a deal was Kevin Love's, you know, broken foot? You know, what really went into the Ty Lue thing? Was he always kind of going to be a 1 year guy, even though he says differently now, you know, like, yeah. what are Tristan's sort of attitudes on these things? Like, you know, what really is sort of like the breakdown of the sex and stuff with guys. And I think I think there are people that, like, if you could get them to be purely honest with you or like give you some version of the truth with that stuff, it'd be really interesting for us to understand. And that's why, like, Tristan potentially being gone is just like the capstone of like, okay, this just isn't what we thought it was. And there's just a lot that I would like to know how and why it's gone wrong and when it went wrong. And again, that would be like a really, really interesting, like, big blow up piece. If someone had the sourcing to really dive into that, that would be quite cool. If someone just had the ability to get the agents, the team, players, you know, like maybe Tristan and Kevin or whomever will talk about it, you know. You know, certainly you've had guys like Rodney Hood go to other places and kind of seem reinvigorated after leaving. But yeah, it's just a weird, this franchise is just in a really, really weird place right now. And it's hard to see like what the clearest, I don't see like a obvious path sort of out of that right now.
No, I don't either. And I know LeBron always hints at like it'll be a tell all sit down after he finally hangs it up. And I wonder if that's when like kind of we get a little bit of like, they really pull back the curtain and let us know like what was going on, even when Cleveland was contending. And then maybe if the Kevin and Tristan are involved in this tell-all quote-unquote situation, and they just kind of like reveal like what life was like after LeBron, like I think that'd be, you know, I like enjoy 30 for 30s a lot. Like, I think that'd be a lot of a fun one. It'd be a bit more of a niche market, especially just for Cavs fans, and I feel like Cleveland sports fans in general. But I don't know, it could have a bit of an appeal for general sports fans. But I guess I'm gonna pull from the intro of Joe Varden's piece today where he said Cleveland was burning like Rome and we're making fun of that. I doubt Joe's gonna listen, so whatever.
Joe, if you are, come on, just come on the pod.
Yeah, we'll talk it out. He opened it with saying, whereas Kevin Love wanted to off the Cavs the moment the season started, Tristan Thompson's desire for a trade grew gradually. I do believe that. And that kind of makes me wonder now that the Cavs were gung-ho, and I think you and I both kind of knew this from what we've heard from others and everything, that the Cavs really did want to sign Tristan to an extension, and the feeling was mutual. But I think the Cavs approached Rich Paul and said, hey, we want to get this done. And Rich gave them a number, and the Cavs were like, yeah, no, we don't actually want to do that. So maybe, just maybe, this Joe Varden piece is, maybe the Chris Haynes tweet yesterday was the Cavs just kind of like getting it out there, like quickly saying like, all right, well, Tristan's available. Maybe this Varden piece is Rich Paul just kind of spiking back, just saying like, listen, this has been a long time coming. But I don't know, like you said, it's just a weird, weird time. And it's kind of sad overall that I'm not even going to say by this deadline, by this summer, we're going to lose the last two fundamental pieces to that championship team. And barring the unforeseen, I think Dellavedova will be gone too. And then Cleveland will completely wipe the slate at that point and just kind of have to kind of find their way to build out of the shadow of LeBron, which is no easy task in itself. But I don't know. It's weird because Tristan, by all accounts, is a good culture guy, and that's something the Cavs have been really trying to like build up for the longest time here. And I think, you know, his last game was Saturday as a Cavalier. I don't think he'll play tomorrow against Oklahoma City, which we'll touch on in a minute. But it's just weird. It's just sad. It's just kind of like you said, it's just like a dark time. And I don't know what the Cavs are going to do to get through it. And hopefully maybe they get a little draft luck this summer and they get the top player available. It's whoever they think it is, probably a point guard based on their last 2 years of track. Their last... Either way, you know what I mean.
Cole Anthony, just... come on down.
Oh boy, it's just a weird, weird time. And like, yeah, like you said, I wish I could have a little bit more insight. But like you said, we're not as in the trenches, and we don't have as much history or anything. But yeah, no, I'd definitely be fascinated to see, like, in a few years when LeBron hangs it up, and maybe some of these other key pieces that are on their way out the door. I mean, Kyrie included, I'd love to see how things fell apart so quickly. Like, I actually want to know the legit story. Like, Kyrie, like, it was rumored or speculated upon, and it's never been confirmed that LeBron or Kyrie's tired of playing in LeBron's shadow and all that other stuff. But like, I'd love to know that story as well. And
yeah,
just,
I think that's right.
Kind of what got us to this point. I don't know.
Yeah. Here, the other thing that I will say, that I tweeted this out like in a kind of a hasty fashion, but I look at this team and I look at with Tristan kind of being on his way out, with Kevin wanting to get out, and obviously there's a lot of complications that you can go read up on. We're not going to get into them here. I think you got into them with Spencer to some degree, but like, the Cavs are not going to be able to get like a ton back for Kevin if they deal him right now. I just look at this and I just think, I do not see the benefit of trying to, like, if it is, this has just gone about like as badly as you could have hoped the last year and a half. Like, there's no like way you can argue that this team has like figured something out and has kind of become like a little more competent than they were or whatever. I look at this, I just think you should just rip down to the studs. I would just go all in on just going down to the studs.
Yeah.
Trying to just get these guys to situations they're going to be happier and can those teams get more value to them, get what you can for them now, and then just like try to figure out what's next. You know, I don't know what that means for Beeline. I don't know what that means for like over your whole roster building. You know, like you don't really have any other guys on the roster that you're really going to have to think about. Like, you have Jetty on an affordable deal. Like, you have all these guys you drafted this year and last year on affordable deals. Nantes' contract is pretty cheap. You know, I don't, you know, he could always flip him if you really wanted to. You don't really have anything else that like you need to super worry about contract wise. I think I'm at the point where I just think the logical move to me is to rip it down to the studs, get some stuff back for these guys, and just kind of go from there and just try to move on. I don't think like the Kevin thing, I don't think like Kevin Love being on the team until like July is going to hang over the team in a positive way at this point.
Neither do I.
That is a change for me. Like, I thought they could kind of make some of it work for at least another year and then do it in the summer. I think we just got to move on at this point. If I'm them, if I'm Kobe Altman, I really wonder if it's just time to just kind of properly move on from all that stuff, bite the bullet, and then just figure out what's next and try to move on as well, you know, how. And maybe that's better for Beeline too. You know, it would get him theoretically a younger roster. I can't speak to, I don't think there's as much of a disconnect between him and like the younger guys on the team. I think he's more struggled to relate to the veterans as far as I understand. And I think with like Larry, he's really hit it off with Larry. He said like multiple times he's fond of Larry. I think you just go with those guys, you figure it out, and you do what you can next summer in the draft, you do what you can in free agency. And I think it's just time to move on and just not look back. I don't like the idea, especially if it's like Tristan goes and it's like just Kevin and like Henson and Knight get bought out or whatever. Like, there's nothing good that can really come of that. I think it's just time to just like go down to the studs and let's just figure out what's next.
No, I absolutely agree with that. And like you said, like, if it's just for the best to move on and just kind of shed the key pieces of the 2016 team, and even Henson and Knight as well, who either get facilitated either one for one for second round picks, or they get the Cleveland somehow pulls in a first round pick by using them in a three team trade, or they just get bought out. But I mean, I don't know if everyone who listens has been to Rocket Mortgage Field House at this point, but there's an entire wall.
Sorry, they're 13th in a point differential for the year, but like this is a good basketball team. The Cavs are probably going to get smoked. No, like I don't know if there's like another way where the Cavs like don't just get absolutely smoked in this game.
No, yeah. It just, like I said, it depends on who Oklahoma City rolls out there tomorrow, because Steven Adams has been linked to Atlanta and he's a very good center. Chris Paul has been kind of, you know, linked to a few contending teams, but at this point maybe Oklahoma City stands pat and they just go all in on this playoff caliber team they have. But like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is just awesome. And, you know, this was a mailbag question, yeah, but it is a what if I still have in my mind every now and then. Like, what if he didn't want to, or if he did want to play for Cleveland? Because everything Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is, it kind of feels like sometimes Colin Sexton isn't. And I like you said, they're a really well-coached team. I like watching them play. I think Chris Paul kind of having just a bounce-back season when everybody thought he was completely done after they traded him there has been really nice to watch, and it's just kind of fascinating to see the direction Oklahoma City's going. Like they're locked and loaded for the foreseeable future because they have a smorgasbord of draft picks coming in their way too, just because of that Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook trade, and like no, they have like a lot of just kind of fun, interesting players. Like I forgot, I have their depth chart pulled up right now. Like I forgot Nerlens Noel played for them, and he is not doing too shabby himself with 8.3 points, 5.3 rebounds, and 1.5 blocks per game. Like that's a quality backup center, and it's just overall like just a fun roster to play. And like, yeah, no, I think Cleveland's going to get absolutely shredded because the defensive potential of Chris Paul and Gilgeous-Alexander will probably give Sexton and Garland the fits tomorrow night. And if key players like Tristan and even Kevin Love are out tomorrow, it just kind of makes it even harder on these Cavaliers just leading up to this deadline. It's just it's a inconvenient game because this is a good team the Cavs have to play, and if at full strength the Cavs are a little bit more formidable, but if they're lacking key pieces, it just is going to turn ugly fast, and we're going to have another grumpy recap.
Yeah, we'll obviously have some trades to talk about too, but looking back at the other time these two teams played this season, early January, so literally a month ago from Tuesday, Kevin Love in that game was 4-10, Jetty was 7-13, Tristan was 1-7 but had 14 boards, Sexton had 30 points in that game, also had 2 assists, no turnovers, was 12-22 from the field, Garland had 20 points as well, so that those two guys combined for 50. And then you look at the Thunder, Schroeder had 22, Ferguson had 13, Shai had 20, CP3 had 7 but had 10 assists and was just 4 rebounds and just kind of felt like they didn't need him to do a whole bunch in that game. Steven Adams had 16 boards, and the Thunder won 121-106. The Cavs only won one quarter, the third quarter. That was 26-25.
Surprise.
Yes, the Charlotte, excuse me, they had 48 points in the paint, only 10 fast break points. So it's some of the stuff that you would expect out of this game. You know, teams made the same number of threes. Thunder made 7 more free throws than the Cavs, 4 more field goals on 11 more attempts. So kind of just basically the Thunder beat the Cavs kind of playing about how they play. Different stuff in this Cavs that game too. You had Exum had just not that, I think pretty recently come over, played 17 minutes. Uh-huh. Deli was still playing 8 minutes at that point. And Alfonso McKinney, who was not currently on the Cavs, played 28 minutes in that game.
Yeah. No.
I thought you said, and I was like, did the Cavs just trade Kevin Love for a bag?
No. I said, yeah. Because I was about to say Alfonso McKinney, but
that's where we're at. It's just like getting the shakes of trade deadline and just assuming that like we're recording and it's going to be like, oh, Kevin Love has been traded to a team in the Chinese league and the Cavs are getting stuff on Marbury. Some things that aren't even legal. I'm just like, sure, I'll believe anything right now.
Yeah, I would too. But Alfonso McKinney won't be there tomorrow. And I would assume that Cleveland is planning on bringing him back post-trade deadline because they
still kind of need depth on the wing. Like, they right now they have Jetty and Porter playing small forward. And, I mean, just having extra depth like McKinney would definitely help. And especially if you end up moving Kevin, you can slide McKinney up to the four as well and give Larry Nance a little bit of relief. And now that I think about it, Larry Nance is probably going forward the starting five, isn't he?
Yeah. Assuming Tristan doesn't play tomorrow, yeah.
And John Henson is out too, and Dante Zizek is still recovering from vertigo. And
maybe you get Dean Wade. You know, like, maybe that's something we see.
Wow, we are really scraping the bottom here. I don't know. Maybe it's Justin Patton didn't sign with anybody, and I know he's not amazing, but he's at least a body, so maybe the Cavs kick the tires on him. I don't know.
According to the latest injury report, just to check it, it hasn't. The 5:30 one has not been submitted yet. We're recording this before 8:30 when the last one comes out. You know, there could be something in there that we're not seeing, but as of right now, like, it's sort of unclear who's going to be active and who's listed and who's not.
Yeah, it's a fun speculation game. I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty comparable. Like you said, the Oklahomas, they just played their style of basketball, and Cleveland just kind of played their quote-unquote style of basketball, and Oklahoma City walked away very comfortably with a win, and I just kind of see the same thing happening again tomorrow, and maybe being a bit more lopsided if key offensive pieces for Cleveland are missing from this one.
Yeah, this could be bad. And I would maybe have alternative viewing if this game gets ugly.
Yeah, you just kind of maybe take the glass a little bit half full. But yeah, I think this is a good point for us to stop and just stop speculating and stop bumming ourselves out before going to bed. I mean, let's be real, folks. There's no sunlight in Northeast Ohio right now, so seasonal depression is a very real thing, and we don't need to add fuel to that fire. So I guess this good way to segue into it is Spencer Davies joined the show, and he will be coming on next with me just to talk about the deadline for the Cavs and just a couple other things that are NBA-related. So stay tuned for that, and thanks for listening to Locked On Cavs. How's it going, everyone? Evan here today, and I'm joined by Spencer Davies. Spencer is a senior writer and deputy editor for Basketball Insiders, and also is a freelancer for Close Up 360. You can find him at many John Boehnlein press conferences, giving the best coverage out there, and you can also find him on Twitter at @SpinDavies. Spencer, how's it going, my man?
It's going well, man. You know, just kind of getting involved in this whole trade deadline hoopla going on, but, you know, it's the best time of year usually here for the NBA, the most hectic for sure.
You know what? You really are the best guest. And again, I'm really happy to have you on the number one Cavaliers podcast. But just got to throw
no shots thrown at that guy over in Canada, huh?
No, not at all. Not at all. But as I mentioned before, and you brought it up with the trade deadline looming and you're around the Cavs so many times, I wanted to pick your brain on a few things. And I guess just my first question for you is, do you think Kevin Love has played his last game as a Cavalier at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse?
That one's tough to answer just because there's so many fluid situations that could happen and offers that can come out of nowhere. You just never know when it comes to the trade deadline. If I had to lean toward an answer, I would say no, just because the Cavs definitely feel like they could get a better offer for Love over in the summertime when things settle down a little bit, and especially with a draft class or a free agent class that isn't as strong as it has been in previous years. The incentive is kind of interesting to think about whether or not they want somebody who's in his early 30s, with a longer contract to be on their team. Not to downplay what Love's done at this season, because especially over the last couple of weeks, he's looked like he's returned to form. Obviously, last night just went bonkers against the Knicks and really looked like put in his best effort this season. Whether that's a coincidence because the trade deadline's coming up here, we don't know. But he definitely left it all on the floor last night and did a hell of a job.
I think we're all kind of in the same camp here. Chris and I both went back. We've gone back and forth on this last few days, and we agree that Kevin will probably be here post deadline. Interesting to see what kind of we'll get out of Kevin going forward. But just to keep on topic here, Tristan Thompson didn't play last night against the Knicks. He was out with a sore quad per the team. But since he is one of Cleveland's bigger expiring assets in a sense. Do you think that since his last game was on, or do you think since he played on Saturday against Golden State, do you think that was his last game as a Cavalier?
That one feels a little bit more realistic, especially with the report that came out by The Athletic and Joe Vardon today about Tristan Thompson prioritizing getting a trade out of Cleveland. I had heard before the season that equal talks here between the Cavs and Tristan Thompson in a mutual interest in staying together and having him ride this thing out. But it certainly appears like that stance has changed. It's kind of sad just because you think about the times that he had the championship seasons and just even being one of those original Cavaliers still left, you know, from 2011. So it's kind of sad to see if that actually comes down to that. I know how much he means to those young players in the locker room. He has a great relationship with Darius Garland, Kevin Porter, and Colin Sexton. And his vocal leadership really has taken a step this season. Just as a on-floor leader and somebody in the locker room they can depend on and talk to. So that's something that's irreplaceable. But when you look at it from the standpoint of where the Cavaliers are in this rebuilding process, it makes sense to end up trading the guy. I thought that it wouldn't have happened before all of this noise here picked up in the last week or so. But it's clear that the organization and Thompson might not be long for each other.
Again, I think you're in the same camp as Chris and I, at least in the fact that he and I both were kind of surprised when Chris Haynes at least tweeted out that Tristan Thompson is now available in trade talks, and just definitely caught us off guard because he and I both believed that Tristan was going to get traded and that the Cavs would likely sign him to an extension, but it is sad to see how it's ending up for sure.
Yeah, I'll openly admit too. I mean, I thought that it was going to be a reverse situation. You know, once Kevin Love had those, you know, on-court outbursts of frustration, and then, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out that Kevin Love was made available in trade talks. I think it was sometime in December that Thompson would be the lone survivor from that time. And then now the roles have kind of switched. You know, teams don't necessarily know if they want to take the risk to take on a Kevin Love contract like that. Is the risk really worth the reward type of deal? Whereas with Tristan Thompson, you know what you're going to get, and you know someone you're going to get is durable, somebody who can provide offensive rebounds like crazy, you know, play solid defense, be able to switch on people, somebody who's quite literally in the very prime of his career, 28, 29 years old. Whereas Kevin Love's, you know, 32 and kind of an old 32 with all that injury history, it kind of makes sense that teams are more interested in Tristan Thompson, and especially that his contract is expiring and they can get his bird rights if they do have interest in renewing him.
Yeah, no, that all absolutely makes sense to me. And I think, again, we're just on the same page across the board just with how this whole trade, the final moments leading up to the trade deadline are playing out. All right, real quick, since the Cavs do have a couple other expiring contracts and players of interest on their roster, we're going to do a little bit of a lightning round here. Chris does all the editing, so I hope he put in some thunder or lightning sound effects just for dramatic effect here. But so real quick, just one word answer, maybe if you have a quick thought on it. Traded, bought out, or stays? Brandon Knight.
Bought out.
Okay. I think we agree with that as well. John Henson.
Traded.
We also agree with that. Matthew Dellavedova.
Stays.
I like that you put a question mark at the end of it because that's how I had it written on my notes here. So yeah, no, I agree with that as well. And just to keep things a little spicy, do you think Colin Sexton is traded at the deadline or do you think he stays?
I think he stays. I don't see any reason why they would end up trading somebody the way that Colin Sexton's developed, especially in the last month or so with the Jordan Clarkson trade. You know, I can go on a tangent as much as I want here about Colin Sexton, but I think I can save that.
No, I know. It's you actually put out a really nice piece talking about Colin Sexton's potential assists and his ability as a potential point guard that we'll definitely include in the show notes. But no, that was a fun and, you know, albeit, I dare I say it, electric lightning round. But folks, stay tuned. Spencer and I will be right back to talk more about the trade deadline in a second. We'll be right back with more Locked On Cavs. 3, 2, 1. 2. Okay, very cool. We're back. Spencer, I'm sure you've noticed Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, and the other young Bear Cubs on the Memphis Grizzlies taking shots on Andre Iguodala. In your opinion, whose side are you on, Memphis's or Iggy's?
Ooh, you know, that's something I love to touch upon here. And I think that the hunger that Memphis team is showing is just something that, you know, there's not that many teams that would go out there and say that publicly. Mm-hmm. You know, you can kind of compare a situation with Andre Iguodala to J.R. Smith last year, you know, teams mutually agreeing to stay away from each other until some kind of resolution is found. This is interesting with Andre Iguodala that he has a preferred list of teams and that he's threatening to sit out the season if they don't trade him to those teams or find a way to buy him out, whatever you call it. It's shrewd, you know, and Iguodala sure has earned that respect and that reputation by now that he should be able to do some of this stuff. But I also see it from the standpoint of the team that's fighting their asses off. You know, Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, who has just been on a tear as of late. De'Anthony Melton even chimed in on social media about the situation. It's crazy how it's kind of evolved into this kind of argument. Even Stephen Curry's gotten involved in it with some social media posts. I kind of like the jawing going back and forth a little. The fact that Dylan Brooks said, I hope we trade him so we can play him down the road and show him what we're made of. Those are some ballsy comments. Those are some ballsy comments. And I know down the road it might not look smart, but you got to love the brash confidence of this Grizzlies group, man. I don't know how the situation pans out. I know that John Hollinger did say that the Grizzlies, if they don't find a trade partner, do have the ability to just flat out release him after the playoffs deadline for players to sign with other teams expires. So that would be an interesting thing to do if the Grizzlies decide to go that route because of the way he's acting. But it's definitely a little bizarre, especially, you know, you think that maybe Iguodala would see the progress that this team's made and that they're in the playoff hunt for real, that he might want to step in and do some things. But he definitely has his mind made up and it doesn't look like any kind of bending of the bridges are going to happen there.
You know, it's a tough situation because I agree with you. It's hard to see on both sides, or you can definitely see where both sides are coming from. But I think I'm in the camp where I wish he just would report at this point. But there's been so much damage done from his camp, at least, that if he came back to Memphis, I don't know how the team would receive him. So it's just kind of like they're playing the Grizzlies' hands, and I don't know if they'd be that petty to wait to waive him to make sure that he couldn't sign the playoff-eligible team like you mentioned, but I don't know. It's definitely an interesting situation. But just to kind of keep things a little bit more Cavs-oriented, I guess the good way to draw a comparison to this season is, at least, is Kevin Love is not publicly told the media that he wants to be traded, but we all know what has gone on behind the scenes from the reportings and the everything that's just come out from The Athletic. And what do you like? Do you think the Cavs are handling this well? Do you think they should have sent Kevin Love home, told him, listen, we'll find you a trade partner? Or do you think Cleveland is just, you know, trying their best to hold it all together, and that's just the best that anyone can do in this kind of situation?
I think they know how they value Kevin Love. Not only as a player on the floor, but as somebody in the locker room, as a champion, you know, somebody who's been around the organization for going on his fifth, sixth year, whatever it is. It's not easy to make these situations happen the way you think they're going to turn out. It never does turn away out that you think it will. I don't think that they were banking on him getting hurt, you know, 6-7 games into the season in the first initial year of the rebuild last year. I don't think they planned on that happening. And then that kind of sent it into a little bit of a tailspin. This season, he's been pretty, you know, here and there, not exactly consistent, but of the last 2-3 weeks, I think that he's gotten a little bit better in that resolve definitely owning up to his frustrations that have been both public and private. It's not easy when, one, you're not able to to see the light at the end of the tunnel when the same mistakes happen over and over again. And that's exactly what we've seen on this homestand. It's been really bad. Just with the compounding mistakes, and not only compounding, but identical mistakes from the young guards, from some of the young, you know, the young talent there, the turnovers that lead to the really bad transition defense. It all comes together, and it all just makes for the perfect storm. Mm-hmm. Now, Kevin Love can help much better and show a little bit more effort like he did against New York in certain situations, but you can just tell that it weighs on him. It weighs on him. Should he have signed that extension back a couple summers ago? That's kind of a hindsight is 2020 type of deal. You know, he was under the impression that, you know, they were trying to compete, and they were, but it just wasn't coming together just in that first couple weeks. And it just kind of just snowballed almost.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that the Cavs are in a rush to trade Kevin Love, but if they find an offer that somebody, you know, overwhelms them, then there's a chance. But again, what are the odds that that actually happens? I'm not so sure about it.
Yeah, no, I think you said it perfectly, and you summed up a lot of just like what a lot of us who are around the team or just cover this team for a living just feel about the whole situation as a whole. And it's just definitely tough, and you can tell that it's on its way towards being over, but we don't know when that's exactly going to be. But just to jump topics real quick here, the New York Knicks announced today that they relieved President Steve Mills of his duties, with Scott Perry taking over basketball operations. Last night, I think it was Chris Haynes who tweeted saying that the Knicks and the Cavs were in trade discussions for John Henson, centered around John Henson. And Spencer, I have to ask you, do you think that this move ultimately led to Mills kind of getting the axe today? Because his work over the summer is, you know, not the best when it comes to the direction of New York basketball.
I'll tell you what, I don't think it was definitely solely based on John Henson. You know, when they have all of those front court players, that kind of doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It was very, you know, New York Knicks-ish to look into John Henson. But I don't think it was just that. I think it's just kind of just over and over again, same stuff. I think there's, you know, a bit of impatience from the part of owner James Dolan. You know, you struck out on that huge free agent class of 2019. It just all kind of didn't go right for him. And you know that there's not really any patience allowed to be shown over there. It does make sense to go a different direction just because there's not really developing talent on the team other than maybe RJ Barrett and, you know, guy like Alonzo Trier and Mitchell Robinson. The rest of them are pretty much, you know, veterans, you know. You know, I'm excluding Frank Ntilikina, of course, but that's kind of hard to stay in that direction when you have veterans like that and you're losing. The good thing that Mills did do was make sure that they were on, you know, really good contracts to be able to trade them other places. You know, there a lot of them were 1 year deals, 2 year deals, so that part was okay. But the construction of the roster overall wasn't great. You know, they fire Fizdale, you know, pretty early on. I thought they've actually been playing with a lot better effort here under Mike Miller. I'll say that. But in the long run, is that really what their plan is? That's the question. That franchise, man, I can't really figure them out. And I don't really intend to try to. I did see that Adrian Wojnarowski and Ramona Shelburne said that the next top executive in the New York Knicks franchise could potentially be an agent, kind of how like the Los Angeles Lakers have done with Rob Pelinka, you know? I think there was a report from Mark Berman of the New York Post that Rich Kleiman, Kevin Durant's right-hand man, would be interested in such a position. That might work. I'm not going to lie, but you know, just making this move 2 days ahead of the trade deadline, it's a little bit curious timing, and also the fact that Kevin Durant is locked up in Brooklyn, and then they go after Kevin Durant's guy. That's just kind of a little weird to me. But Knicks, I don't know which way they're going. I think they do have a couple of intriguing guys on that team. But the veterans, I don't just see a long-term kind of fit there.
No, I absolutely agree. And before we wrap things up, I have just a quick, simple yes or no question for you. Since this is a Cavs podcast, and I know people kind of are worried about the general direction of where the Cavaliers are going and just how this rebuild itself is going, but do you think Cleveland fans should be happy that James Dolan isn't the owner of the Cavs and isn't meddling in the team's affairs during this rebuild?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, Dan Gilbert obviously has, you know, an interesting history, but he's willing to spend money. He finally committed to a long-term plan here with Kobe Altman as the general manager. I know a lot of people don't like what Kobe Altman's done, but he has done a solid job of getting the Cavs back to a very respectable place in the cap sheet. I know these rebuilds are hard to undergo, but I always go back to a team like the Sixers where they had 3-4 god-awful years before they actually got back into things. Sometimes you miss on draft picks. I'm not saying that's what happened. Darius Garland's 19 years old. He's playing his first full season after playing 4 games in college and then undergoing a knee surgery. You know, that's just way too early to tell on that. It's way too early to tell on Colin Sexton what player he's going to be. You know, it's way too early to tell on a guy like Kevin Porter Jr. who's shown flashes of brilliance. You know, like, it just takes time. It does. And I know people hate to hear that, but when you do this type of rebuild, that's what happens. This is what I refer to as year 1B of the rebuild. 1A was a bunch of leftovers from the LeBron James championship seasons. You know, you fired the coach from that team, and then you had an interim voice/coach with Larry Drew, who did the job that he could. And then this year, you brought in an entirely different staff, headed by a new head coach. You know, some new front office additions, and this is really the first year, even though last year still was part of a rebuild as well. This is like the true first year. It's not easy to win in the NBA, especially when you don't have the roster to do so. I think a lot of people gloss over that fact too. You know, there's just so many parts about it that you have to get right that you're gonna miss sometimes, and you're gonna have to wait, and that's just the God's honest truth when it comes to these Cavs.
I couldn't have said it better myself, really, man. But that's gonna have to do it for us today. Spencer, thanks again for coming on. Before I let you go, is there anything you want to give a quick plug to our listeners to check out?
Basketball Insiders, we've got you all the latest information and news on the NBA trade deadline this week. Of course, that's only about less than 48 hours away. Hard to believe. I don't know when this podcast comes out, but we're recording this on a Tuesday at 5 p.m. So that's crazy. The trade deadline's coming up here. We've got great writers, a great staff over there. You can follow me and Basketball Insiders at B-Ball Insiders on Twitter. I am at Spin Davies on Twitter. Please don't get overwhelmed by my over-defending of Colin Sexton. I feel really inclined to do so because I feel like he gets a very bad rap on here. But otherwise, I put out videos for you. Hopefully you guys enjoy those. Post-game reactions, quote sheets, whatever I can do to make your experience better in Cleveland. And I'm also, you know, branching out to national coverage as well, where I do these exclusive interviews with other teams, like one I did in the middle of winter here was one on Brandon Clark that I thought ended up pretty good. So that's pretty much a sum up of what I do, and hopefully you guys enjoy it. And I was glad to join the guys here on Locked On Cavs.
You know what, Spencer, you really are the greatest guest, and Chris and I sing your praises a lot about how hard you work, and everyone, please give Spencer a follow, because his content should be consumed by all of you, and it definitely needs to be appreciated and given more exposure as much as it can. And again, just please, everyone, give Spencer a follow. And thanks to everyone today for tuning into today's episode of Locked On Cavs. Chris and I will be back at it tomorrow with a recap of Cavs Thunder, and then probably we'll speculate on whatever tomorrow holds for trade deadline stuff. Like Spencer said, we're about 48 hours away at this point, and there's going to be plenty of rumors that pop up. So until next time, go Cavs.